The text for today's message comes from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody here hate being told no?
I do.
I do too. I'm sure not a fan of it. But although I will admit, sometimes I will ask a question hoping for a no answer, but those are usually not the no's I get. Let's be honest. I don't think anybody likes hearing no when you want something. I work primarily with autistic kids at the hospital I work at. Want to meet a group of people who can't handle being told no? That's the group. Frequently, our goal with these kids is to do nothing more than get them to tolerate a less preferred activity than the one they want for at least 5 minutes when their primary activity isn't available. And that's not an easy thing to do. None of us like to be told no, whether it's when we interview for a job, ask somebody out or on a date, or ask God to take some sort of burden from us. That's what Paul did. He asked God to take a burden from him. The verse just before our text today says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." We don't know what it was for sure that Paul was pleading about. Most scholars assume he was talking about his poor eyesight. It's certainly possible. But we'll never know, at least on this side of eternity. But you know what I think it was? I think God inspired Paul purposely to write it in an ambiguous way. I think God inspired Paul to not disclose what it was, so that when he was praying about whatever it was he was praying about, we would all be able to relate to him. Because there isn't a person here, I believe, any man or woman of faith, who hasn't gone to God at some point and said, "Please take this from me." We can all relate to Paul having something he wants God to remove, to set us free of. Whether it's freedom from addiction, the loneliness of grief, fear of financial failure, or any other burden that you might want to be freed of. It can feel very lonely to approach this all on your own. To go before God and humble ourselves, begging him to change something. But it's not so lonely when you realize something really important. God's response to Paul applies to us just as strongly as it applied to him. And just as strongly as his approaching God in humility and having to cope with hearing no does. "But God, I can't deal with this anymore. It's more than I can handle." God responds, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." You're right when you say you can't handle this on your own. One of the things I've learned is that God does frequently give you more than you can handle on your own. That misquoted verse from which we get the mistaken idea that God doesn't give us more than we can handle is from 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has ever overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide you the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." You're not handling it on your own. Really listen to what the passage says. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God is faithful. He will not let you. He will also provide you the way of escape. Who's doing all the acting here? God is faithful. He will not let you. He will provide. Why is he doing it? So that you will be able to endure. God is doing everything. God is doing what he promised, being there for us because he's faithful, protecting us by not letting us be tempted too badly, and delivering us, providing that way of escape. God is always working for us. He is working through our weaknesses. For my power is made perfect in weakness. It's 100% God, 0% us. Just like in salvation. He does all the work. He provides us with everything we need. We can rejoice just as much as Paul does in our weaknesses. We all have these too. Eyesight problems. Hearing problems. Mobility issues. Any physical health issue. Mental and emotional disorders. It doesn't matter. Through our weaknesses, Christ is made strong. In our weakness, we move toward Christ. Our relationship with him grows. He becomes stronger and we become less. He fills our void inside. He provides everything that we need. He sustains us through the worst of our trials. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No, of course not. Not at all. But what we can count on, no matter what trial, is that God will sustain us. So how do we respond to this tremendous grace that the Father in heaven has given to us through his Son's life, death, and resurrection? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Not only do all of us have weaknesses, but they're also a reason to boast, to rejoice, to even be glad that these weaknesses exist. Because through them, the power of Christ can rest on us. And that power of Christ resting on you, resting on me, resting on us. I don't know about you, but to me, that is absolutely overwhelming. The power is how Jesus, in his full humanity, endured the torture of being flogged with a whip that had hooks embedded into the leather straps. He endured the torture of having nails driven through his hands and his feet, and suffering for hour after hour on the cross as his life slowly slipped from his body. It's the power that finally, mercifully, allowed that life to pass out of him and his body buried. And it's that same power early on that Sunday morning that resurrected his body and made him firstborn of the dead into new life, to lead us to the same resurrection on the last day. That's the power of Christ in us. It's the power to endure the trials and tribulations of this life. It's the power to survive the worst that Satan, the world, and our old Adam have to offer. It's the power to rejoice in the pain, even when we don't even feel like rejoicing, because we have a hope that is real and a future that is filled with more joy than any of us could possibly even begin to describe. That's the power of Christ in us. Our text concludes, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul was no stranger to weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. He survived 3 shipwrecks that he wrote about, and a 4th one that was mentioned in Acts 27 near the end of his life. He was stoned. He was chased. He was imprisoned multiple times. He was flogged, and he was beaten with rods. Yet through all of this, Paul celebrates his weakness, because he knows without a question that in his weakness, Christ is strong in him. We can trust in Jesus Christ, just as Paul did. In our weakness, he is strong. We can rejoice in our weaknesses, so many weaknesses, because he can take them and in them be strong in us. Paul knew it wasn't him who was doing all these good things for people. It was the power of Christ in him. Christ lives in us as people of faith, just as he did in Paul. Does that mean we're going to do incredible things like Paul? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. And by that I mean incredible on it from a human perspective. But I do know that nothing is impossible for God to accomplish. Like Paul had in his life, our lives will still have problems. We live in a fallen world, and we're fallen people. But that doesn't have to cause us not to rejoice, because we know that Christ's grace is sufficient for us, that in our weakness, no matter how messed up we are, we know that he is strong. Share that strength. Model it for those in your lives this week. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all. Amen.